Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Khalil Robert Irving is a rising star in the art world, but he has deep roots in St. Louis and no intention of leaving. And there's some things he'd like to see change when it comes to our local arts institutions.
Hell yeah, I want to see them step it up. And I'm tired of it, people saying it's taking a risk. You know, it's not a risk to introduce people to other people. It's not a risk to, you know, say, hey, curator at MoMA, I think this photographer from St. Louis should be on your radar. I think people need to take more responsibility and stop letting the framework that has been devised to create the way we live.
I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. Khalil Robert Irving is just 28 years old, but his art has already earned a place in galleries and museums around the U.S., including the Whitney in New York City. Now it's on display in the town he calls home, in an exhibit at the Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis as part of its Great Rivers Biennial. Every 2 years, the biennial honors three emerging artists who live and work in St. Louis, and with it comes $20,000 for each, as well as a museum exhibit. Irving's work is on display at the museum through February 21st. His show there is called At Dusk, and he joins us today to talk about it. So, Khalil Robert Irving, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, the sculptures you made for At Dusk, these aren't really pretty works. They're pretty far from it. You're mashing up found objects, including styrofoam takeout containers.
They're not found. No, they're not found. Everything you see in the museum is made by me in the studio. I'm making everything.
Okay. So tell me the idea behind these very unusual creations.
Well, the exhibition At Dusk is partly about time and a landscape or planes or surfaces that are akin to screens or surfaces of objects. And then those objects or the wall of the museum in itself is then used as a way to translate images or re-represent ideas or issues that are interesting to me. And so just because you see a sculpture that looks like it's made out of to-go boxes or found objects, there's more information to see in not just the objects themselves, but there are images on the surfaces of the sculptures that take the work a step further.
And these images on the surfaces, these almost look like decals. Is that right?
Well, they are decals. They are image transfers specifically made for ceramic processes.
Okay. And so you've gone to a lot of work to create these objects. They look just like styrofoam containers. You fooled me there. you've also created...
And that's part of what the point is. The point is to fool the viewer. But if you read the materials list on the wall in the museum, you'll see that they're not plastic, they're not glass, they are ceramic. And thinking about a history of industrialization and manufacturing, even referencing the history of St. Louis manufacturing and architectural production of brick, there's a lot of engineering and a lot of ingenuity and invention possibilities in material. And even in the 1904 World's Fair, there were a lot of companies that came to the United States, specifically to St. Louis, that showed engineering and inventive possibilities with ceramic. And so the sculptures specifically build on this history of invention and possibility.
Hmm. This idea of At Dusk, though, the name of your exhibit, I think of dusk as kind of this is the end of the road. You're not saying that this level of industrialization and all that can be done with these objects, that we've hit the end of the road.
No, at dusk, dusk is a transition point from daytime to evening to nighttime. And thinking about the, you know, a Christian point of view or Christian perspective of saying what's done in the dark always comes to the light. Mm. And so there are many things done in the dark. And what is and how do you deal with that transition of time through experience? You know, it's really just a metaphor. It's not necessarily just about anything specific. But there are a lot of things that I'm talking about in the whole show, not just the sculptures, but about violence and ideas of celebration and family, personal issues that I'm interested in that are presented in the work, but some people will never understand. And then there are some issues in the work that everybody will understand. Mm-hmm. There's space for Black people to live within the work without anybody else intruding on their experience. And then there is room for laughter and joy. So it's more like a covering of the last 3 or 4 years of my art practice together in one exhibition.
You mentioned what's on the walls. And in addition to these very striking sculptures, what's on the walls? This has to be the biggest collage I've ever seen in my life. I understand it's 65 feet long.
66 linear feet, yep.
66 linear feet. How did you possibly put together a collage that big? Just the logistics of it are blowing my mind.
I've been making these collages historic, like over the last several years, like almost 10 years, specifically for the decal imagery for my sculptures. And then recently I started figuring out ways to turn them into wall vinyls.
And you've got a lot of stuff in there. It almost made me feel like I was looking at a Twitter feed. It's just a jumble of memes, but it seems like they're chosen with some great intention.
They are. And I it's one of my good friends. She and I just went to the St. Louis Art Museum and had a little walkthrough. And she said that she'd been thinking about my show at camp for quite some time. And she said, you know, it's almost diaristic. And I was like, it's not almost, because it is only the things that I'm really interacting with online at any given time.
So this
is like a diary.
As you say, this is a record of your last 3 years.
The work on the wall is titled Wet Wagon Wheels, Shelved Over Stacked, Maxed Media, Changes Needed, But You Have to Change First, St. Louis. And this work is really comprised of images that I've been collecting actually since the beginning of the year. So it really highlights and communicates my interaction in the social and digital space, most specifically through the beginning of the pandemic.
So I want to talk a little bit about your background. I understand you mostly grew up in St. Louis. You weren't born here, but you ended up here. Then you studied at the Kansas City Art Institute. Then you got your MFA from Wash U. Were you studying largely ceramics at both those places?
No, I got my undergraduate degree in art history and ceramics and sculpture. And at Washington University, I was a Chancellor's Graduate Fellow, which is a program for diversifying the collegiate professoriate. And so I was with students who came from all different backgrounds. And in graduate school, I worked with Denise Ward Brown and helped her with documentary films, one on the East St. Louis race riot called Never Been a Time. And what else did I do in graduate school? I was just really open and absorbing as much as I could. But mostly I was working, I don't think of myself as a ceramic artist. I think more like a sculptor or like a concept, like, I don't know, we're in a weird time and titles are complicated and problematic. So I make ceramics, but I wouldn't say I'm a ceramist because I don't know how to make your glaze fit, but you know, I know how to fire a kiln. But you know, I think the main point is that I'm just trying to do the best that I can to get my ideas across. And sometimes ceramics holds that, sometimes it doesn't. So
you don't want to be limited by that.
I'm not limited by anything, because if you came to my, I'm working on buying an 8,000 square foot warehouse for my studio, and it's actually near CAM. And if you came to my studio, you would see a lot of different things going on at the same time. And I have it's funny, I just got named one of the Forbes 30 under 30 this morning.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, being recognized in such, you know, esteem in certain places and spaces, I'm interested in architecture. I'm interested in challenging space and challenging, you know, just challenging a lot of things that we think we know to try to do better and make a difference for everybody in the world, so...
My guest today is Khalil Robert Irving. He's a rising star artist. His work is now at the Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis as part of its Great Rivers Biennial. And Khalil, you said you're in the process of getting this 8,000 square foot studio here in St. Mm-hmm. Louis. So are you putting down pretty strong roots here?
Well, I mean, I have roots here. My family's from here. My great-grandfather came to one of my great-grandfathers came to St. Louis hopping trains from Tulsa, from Little Rock, Arkansas, in the early 20th century. So, you know, I'm a Midwest guy, you know, and I know that and I believe that, and I have the accent to prove it. But I'm just interested in making space for myself and help make a difference for other people. Along with the building, I'm also getting a half an acre of land. Hopefully, you know, I really hope this goes through.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
And on the half an acre of land, I'm working with an organization to grow food. So your previous segment was really important to me. I think we think too much about the people who make a lot of money and don't ever think about the people who are making little money. Hmm. You know, I'm working on renovating a house that I bought, or mixed use building I bought a couple of years ago. And the guy I'm working with, he said, you know, they treat you like small people. And I think the possibilities of St. Louis is so far reaching. And I've been graciously awarded and recognized for the hard work and labor I've been putting in. But I think, you know, not only is big business moving to St. Louis supporting the landscape, but I think if people stop looking at the rich folks and the big multi-million dollar companies, we start taking care of people here at home more, and maybe we would live in a more safe place and more just community.
Hmm. And you don't feel that it holds you back at all as an artist not to be, say, in the middle of the New York City scene?
I've been in New York. That's the thing. I've been in New York. I've lived in Hungary. I've lived in Jerusalem. I've lived in Southeast Asia. I've traveled the world. I've been to 19 countries. You know, I don't want to say that, but I've made a lot of money managing and taking care of myself and saving and selling my work, that I think after a while you have all these experiences. It's not about, you know, a lot of people think making it is about being seen, but a lot of making it is also about doing the work.
Hmm.
And to do the good work, you got to be able to be in a place where you're around people who are also being able to communicate and be a part of that team with you. So, you know, there are some good people doing good work here in St. Louis. Hosco Farms, Jabron is, you know, giving free food away to elders and providing plant-based meals to people all over the city. You know, it's a lot of good work being done. And I think the possibilities for invention are ripe for the taking in a space like St. Louis. So being a person who, you know, this is the second time I've applied for the Great Rivers Biennial, and it's great to be in a conversation with Tim Portlock, who was one of my faculty members at WashU, and Rachel Yoon, who was one of my classmates when they were in undergraduate school. So it's like, you know, the conversation and the possibility is here. But I think what's more important is that people who have powerful positions, like the curators at the Contemporary Art Museum and the St. Louis Art Museum and Lowellmeyer Sculpture Park, they don't just give people shows at the museum, but they also introduce them to people out in the world. Because it's very hard for people to get out of St. Louis. It's very hard for people to get to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about who you know. It's about who knows you.
And are the museums and the cultural institutions here in this town, do you think they're doing that now?
Not necessarily, no. I don't think they're doing it the way that they should be. And I think it could change the landscape and make a world of difference for so many people in their lives.
Hmm. So you'd like to see them step it up.
Hell yeah, I want to see them step it up. I want to see people take, and I'm tired of it, people saying it's taking a risk. You know, it's not a risk to introduce people to other people. It's not a risk to, you know, say, hey, curator at MoMA, I think this photographer from St. Louis should be on your radar. I think people need to take more responsibility and stop letting the framework that has been devised to create the way we live be the way that we continue to work.
Hmm.
And I think growing up in St. Louis and getting to know the cultural institutions over the last 20 years has been quite interesting. And as a cultural producer myself, someone who's able to continue to help support, make those changes and invest in the community, I think that the task that I give to them is the same task that I give and work through for myself. So, it does not go without acknowledging that I too want to do the work, and I too want to help make a difference. So it's not a slant or it's not a negative thing or a bad thing. It's just, I think we all could be doing better. just like how much, like in my work, the work at Dusk is also about white supremacy and violence, and I think white people could be doing better. White people could do a whole lot more, because the only way to dismantle white supremacy and violence and racism is that white people dismantle it, because white people are the ones who created it.
Well, it's hard to even say anything better than what you just said there. You've left me speechless, and that's not good for my line of work. But
look,
yeah,
you're fine. You're fine. I'm a trained speaker, so it's a part of my practice.
Well, look, Kalia, we have just 1 minute left here, and one thing I did want to mention is that mm-hmm. you recently received the Artsy Vanguard Award. That's an annual list of the most promising artists shaping the future of contemporary art. That's obviously a mm-hmm. huge award. What does that mean to you?
I mean, getting Forbes a 40, 30 under 30, getting the Artsy Vanguard list, being a Lewis Comfort Tiffany Foundation grant recipient, being awarded the Joan Mitchell Foundation grant a couple weeks ago. I mean, all of these awards and all these possibilities are fabulous, you know, but I just, you know, I just put it back into the work. You know, it's all mm-hmm. about the work. It's more about making a difference and giving than it is, you know, and having strong relationships and caring and loving for people close is, you know, it's what all that means. And it just creates space for me to keep making room for other people who are coming from disadvantaged and oppressed communities like St. Louis to have room and space to go out into the world and make room for themselves too.
Well, I hope people will check out that work. They can see it at the Contemporary Art Museum through February 21st. Yeah, you can also see it online. If you're not leaving your house, that's no excuse. You could see yep. a great display of this. So, Kalia Robert Irving, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, and I, you know, I have to invite you guys back when I get my studio, so we can do a segment on my studio and the farm and all these other things that I have going on.
I would love that. So, we are going to take you up on that. You can leave me speechless again. So thank you.
Okay. Nice to chat with you.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.